Welcome back to another episode of Michigan Hidden History. This is your host, Theron, and we are going to talk about the history of the Democratic Party. So, because last episode we talked about the founding of the Republican Party, we're going to do the founding of the Democratic Party, even though it has nothing to do with Michigan history. So, today we're going to talk about the Democratic Party and the history and the founding and what they're doing now. The Democratic Party is one of the two major political parties in the United States. If you don't know that, along with the Republican Party, and it has a long storied history that we're going to get into. So, the Democratic Party really came into its own in the 1820s and 1830s during the Jacksonian era, which is under President Andrew Jackson, who was the 7th President of the United States, and who was also a Democrat, if you didn't know that. He helped shape the party's ideology, which I'm going to read some of the things that he did for you to better understand what the party's ideology was back then. He was a populist who believed that the power of the common man was what got people elected and stuff like that. He opposed wealthy elite and the banks, and he fought for the rights of the working people. So this means the common man means the white person who owned land, and it didn't include African-Americans, it didn't include women, it didn't include the Native Americans or American Indians, which no president was in the between George Washington and, let's say, I believe Walker Bush, the 42nd president. Between there, no one really had sympathy for Native Americans. So that's where we land with Native Americans in the United States and how they're being treated. So you can see how they're being treated is not fair. And they just recently got a lot of the rights back based on Supreme Court rulings that the Supreme Court has ruled on in the past 10 years. So some of the things that Jackson stood for was that he believed that government intervention in the economy benefited special interest groups and created corporate monopolies that favored the rich. So he was very against government intervention, which will be the downfall of the Democrats in the later years in the presidency, which we will get to. He was he also didn't like the federal support of banks. So he thought that it favored the corporations, and he also restricted the use of paper currency, which he distrusted very much. And look at us now. We use paper currency. We have government intervention in the economy. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, you have that. He also didn't... I'm reading and I'm doing it. He didn't. He opposed reform as a movement. He was very opposed to educational reform and the establishment of public school systems. He also didn't have any sympathy, and he initiated the Trail of Tears, which, if you don't know what the Trail of Tears is, we're going to cover that in like 2 seconds. Because it's very big, and it's a very sad occurrence that happened in United States history. So the party was the weakest in the New England era. So if you don't know the New England area of the United States, it is the north east corner of the United States. So that's where they were the weakest. So that's where they struggled a lot. They also were, they also lost the elections of 1837, between 1837 and, no, sorry, between the, between 1840 and 1844, they lost elections between there because they didn't believe in intervention, in government intervention in the economy, and that led to the Panic of 1837. So that's why they lost those elections. So before we move on, I forgot to say a very big issue that the Democrats were very big on was slavery. They believed in slavery, but they didn't believe that the federal government should be involved in any decision making of slavery. They wanted to do popular sovereignty and make it states' rights. So you should check out the Kansas and Nebraska Act. You should either research it or you should listen to it in my episode of the founding of the Republican Party, and I have it in that. So there's that. Very big in that. So we have in 18, so we are just before the Civil War, and Abraham Lincoln is running for president. So the Democratic Party was divided before the Civil War even started and during the Civil War. So we have Democrats supporting the Union, which is Stephen A. Douglas, and other Democrats like Jefferson Davis supported the slavery and the South and the Confederacy. And because of that, the Democratic Party, Abraham Lincoln won the presidency because of that split. So you needed, so there were 303 members of the Electoral College, which right now is somewhere between, which is 538 Electoral Colleges, Electoral College votes right now, and you need 270 to win. Back then, there were 303 Electoral College votes, and you need 152 Electoral Colleges to win, Electoral College votes to win. So, because of that, we have the most populous states are in the North. So, the North is where all the population states are. So, basically, like, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio. I'm just reading it off the map. New York had 35. Pennsylvania had 27, and Ohio had 23 Electoral College votes. If you're wondering how many Michigan had, Michigan only had 6 Electoral College votes. That means that we had about four House members and 2 senators. So remember, Electoral College votes is based on the members of the Congress. How many people in Congress you have totaled up. So because of that, Abraham Lincoln wins 180 Electoral College votes. We have a split between the Southern Democrats and then the Northern Democrats. So the Southern Democrats run a person named John C. Breckinridge, and he wins all Southern votes, but that's only 72 votes, 72 Electoral College votes. And then we have Stephen A. Douglas, who is a Northern Democrat, doesn't even carry his home state of Illinois, but he wins the state of Missouri, which is only, sorry, he wins, he wins the state of Missouri, and he gets about 12 Electoral College votes, and he comes in third. No, he comes in second to Abraham Lincoln. In percentage of votes. And in the states that he carried, but in the Electoral College, he came in last. So, because of that split, it gave Abraham Lincoln an advantage, and he won that presidency. And in the North. And he won all Northern states, which holds the biggest Electoral College votes in the nation. So at that time. So that's why Abraham Lincoln won. And then after that, we have the Civil War because the Southern Democrats didn't agree and wanted to split up and wanted to create the Confederacy, which included slavery and all that stuff. We're not going to get into all that history. But after the war, the Democratic Party became the party of white supremacy in the South. They opposed Reconstruction and tried to disenfranchise African Americans, which we will get to how in the next section. So here are some ways that the Democrats disenfranchised African Americans in the South, and how they opposed Reconstruction. So President Lincoln decided to choose another running mate because he didn't think that he was going to win the election. So he chose a Southern Democrat named Andrew Johnson as his running mate for the 1864 presidential election. So when he does that, he dies 2 months after the 2 weeks after the election in Ford's Theater. We all know that story, how John Wilkes Booth assassinates President Lincoln in the Ford Theater. But after that, he decides to pardon all the Confederate leaders who had wealth. He pardoned all of them with presidential pardons. And even though that the Southern states were doing Reconstruction and slavery was being abolished, black codes were starting to regulate the freedoms that African Americans enjoyed during that shortened time that President Lincoln, the end of the Civil War, and President Lincoln was assassinated. He basically refused measures that banned people from running for like former Confederate officials to run for office. He vetoed that. He also vetoed the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which was overridden by a congressional override. He basically undid what President Abraham Lincoln did over his few years as president or few months as president after the Civil War. He was also the first president to be impeached by the House and was one vote short of being impeached by the Senate in the spring of 1868. He obviously violated the Tenure Office Act, which the Congress signed because they knew that he was going to fire a person in power. So once he did that, he violated the Tenure of Office Act. Sorry to get sidetracked from the Democratic Party, but this is all like important information that people know, is that the Democrats very opposed to Reconstruction and was the party of white supremacy in the South. So that's why you hear now on these right wing media channels that if the Democrats get control, that we're going to go back years and decades further that we're going to lose our rights as colored people in the United States. But I don't believe that. Most people don't believe that. There's no truth to that. So just be careful what you hear. Please fact check things. Even fact check me. Even tell me when I'm wrong or tell me if I made a mistake. But do it nicely. Do it in the comment section, whatever. Because I also make mistakes when doing research and when typing out these scripts and saying the stuff that comes out of my mouth. But yeah, so we're moving on to the 20th century. So during the 20th century, which is the 1900s, the Democrat Party began to change and became more supportive of civil rights for African Americans. And they started to appeal to a wider range of voters. In the 1930s, the Democratic Party under President Franklin D. Roosevelt implemented the New Deal, which helped lift the country out of the Great Depression. And he's also the longest serving president of the United States. He served 4 terms before he died in office. And this was the last time anyone can serve 4 terms because the Republican Party got scared that if they didn't pass an amendment to the Constitution saying that presidents can only serve 2 terms in office, that anyone can become a dictator and that can take over the United States without having the checks of Congress. So that's why after Franklin Roosevelt passed away and after his term, they passed the amendment that had term limits for president. It was created, it says no person shall be elected to the president of the United States for more than twice, and no person shall hold the office of president or acted as president for more than 2 years of a term which some other person was elected shall be elected to the office of the president more than once. So this was passed in, hold on, it's the 22nd Amendment to the Constitution, and it was passed in 1951, which Franklin Roosevelt was president until 1945. So 6 years after he became president, they passed this amendment, the 22nd Amendment, and it passed because of Franklin Roosevelt and the frightening and the scared Republicans thought that they would never ever be able to be hold a presidential office if that's the case. So that's why we have term limits in the United States. It is because of the Republican Party. So Franklin D. Roosevelt helps us pull out of the Great Depression. So we're going to continue to the modern era. The Democratic Party continued to evolve the modern era. They became more supportive of environmental protections, women's rights, gay rights, LGBTQ rights. They have also become more internationalists, and they supported having free trade agreements with other nations. The Republican Party is opposed to most, if you haven't been following the news, they're opposed to LGBTQ rights. I think they don't believe in climate change, at least some of them don't. They support some trade agreements, but not all trade agreements with other nations. So, yeah. So, it just depends on who you are in the Republican Party. But I'm an independent, so I do my research before I vote on anyone for either president or if it's as low as city council or even my school board members. I do my research and I make sure that their issues align with what I think or I believe that should be that should be happening, or that the United States should look like and become. So we're going to move on to the ending of the podcast. So the Democratic Party is a big tent party, and it encompasses a wide range of views. But there are some core principles that have united the Democrats throughout the history. These principles include the belief in individual rights, the importance of government, and the need to help those who are less fortunate. Thank you for listening, and hope you enjoy this episode on the history of the Democratic Party. Please, you can find this wherever you find podcasts. Please rate and review on Spotify and Apple. If you do that, more people will be able to listen to this and enjoy the history of different things in the state of Michigan and more random topics like the Democratic Party, or maybe just something else, altogether. The more people do it, the more people listening that I will get, and the better I will get at this. The quote to end this is, I don't care who's doing better than me. I'm doing better than I was last year. It is a me versus me. Thank you for listening again, and see you next week.